The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field and TMR hanging out with you on a Monday, wrapping up almost all of week 14. Still have one game hanging in the balance tonight. The Giants host the Eagles on Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course. It'll be fun. Hopefully you have some championship or at least some playoff victories secured, and you are feeling good about your chances to survive and advance.
I am.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I had a very good weekend.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that as well. Yeah, good.
You, like in fantasy or in just in life in general?
What'd you
do? Both.
You go bowling?
Oh, cool.
Both.
You went bowling?
I did not go bowling.
It wasn't really a good weekend then, was it?
I was going to say.
Obviously. I mean,
sort of a subjective good.
It means it wasn't a great weekend.
Okay, that's fair.
It was still a good weekend.
That's fair.
Still a good weekend. We got stockings. We went and, you know, got the hung stockings by the chimney with care. So did that with my daughter. We had a tough weekend. In terms of the arms, but overall, it was a very good weekend. And it was a very good weekend fantasy wise. So I was very pleased with how everything ended up happening there. I'm moving on.
Okay. Well, if we got that. We got playoffs. Everything that we need.
And Matthew, you're in a tight one, right?
It depends on how you define it. I think it's a subjective tight. If I get 21 points from Sterling Shepard, that is no longer tight. But other than having a career day. Yeah, we're in business, right? Sterling Shepard, fantasy is a cruel beast.
It is.
Hopefully we can have some, hopefully Sterling Shepard can channel his inner Jason Sanders tonight. If he does that, then we're great. Otherwise, yeah. I might not show up to work tomorrow. It might be a good thing.
I will say this because I want to say this. I want to say this on air. I want to say this to our audience before tonight happens, right? Because it's a tough one. I think you and Matthew Harrington, our producer of Fantasy Football Now, the Irish Twins, I think you guys had the best team in our war room league, our 16-team war room league.
Okay.
Like, and that's fantasy, right? Like, right. I want to legitimately compliment you and Matt Harrington on what I think was a terrific year. Like, and I hope if you guys win, it'd be great. Listen, you're playing Scott Clark, who's also a good friend of mine, right? Yeah. I'm torn. It's tough.
Torn. Come on, you know you want Scott to win.
Well, Scott has more power over me than you do. So, you know, listen. I don't know who I want to win. Actually, I'll tell you why I want Scott to win. Because I'm still alive in the playoffs and you have the better team.
Look how quickly the tables have turned in this story. Actually, you know what? We're 30 seconds in. I realize I do want Scott to win. I don't actually want you and Matt Harrington to be able.
No, but I wanted it. Look.
What a sincere.
But it's a compliment.
No, it was so sincere for like 15 seconds.
No, it was genuine. Hang on. I'm being serious here for a second.
I really want this. Like, this was in my mind.
Right.
I had an estimation of how Matthew would bring up this specific game in the playoffs.
I'm trying to be complimentary.
You're trying to be complimentary by saying you changed your mind about you wanting Field to win and now you want someone else to beat him. That's not a compliment.
That's just his version of, I'm not saying you got to lose weight. You just got to tighten up.
Just tighten.
He's got the best team in the league.
Who wants
to root for the best team in the league? But I am complimenting him to our audience saying you guys did an awesome job this year.
And I hope you lose in the
playoffs. Who wants to face the best team in the league?
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League. This is the instant replay.
My fingers are crossed. If Sterling Shepard has 21 points tonight, I will be eternally grateful. Yes, let's get to all the stuff that happened yesterday. Unfortunately, a ton of injuries really sort of marred this day from a fantasy perspective. We'll go in order and talk about some of the fallout there. Mike Evans leaves the game after a 60-plus yard touchdown catch. He sort of gimped his way into the end zone. After the game, Bruce Arians said did not look good for the rest of the season. Of course, with just three games left, and the Bucs, I believe, mathematically eliminated for the playoffs for the 12th straight year. That is correct. Obviously, a little bit less to play for than some teams that are looking to play into January. So Mike Evans goes out. Chris Godwin continues to have a mammoth season. Jameis Winston obviously just continues to find a way. Jameis just we'll get into some of the other tangents of that. But like, is there a next man up in the Bucs wide receiver group that all of a sudden becomes fantasy relevant?
You know what? There is, and the problem is that I don't know that we have a real sense of that. And we're going to talk about Jameis in a little bit because we've got to get into that. But look, because the weird part is if you're just going by, hey, who's been the third wide receiver in the Buccaneers? It's Breshad Perriman, right? And so Breshad Perriman, who's kind of had a checkered NFL career, former first round pick, was injured a lot, struggled with drops, but has very quietly had a nice little year for Tampa Bay this year. Yeah,
it's solid. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, solid. But my point is that there's a pedigree there. This is a guy that was at one point in his career, and it's a while ago, but there was at one point in his career, Breshad Perriman was thought of as a first-round NFL talent, right? And so, but the question is whether the Buccaneers feel like, you know, I don't have a sense of it as we sit here at 10 o'clock on Monday morning. Maybe you do, but I don't have a sense of like where they feel like, hey, you know what? Let's just put Perriman, or maybe they feel like we like Perriman in the role he's at, and we feel like Justin Watson is better suited to run the routes that we use for Mike Evans. So, you know, or do they, hey, we saw O.J. Howard. There was an O.J. Howard sighting yesterday. Yeah. Is it in terms of the pass catcher that steps up in terms of production for the Buccaneers after Godwin? Could it be O.J. Howard? So I want to do some more digging between now and waivers tomorrow. Do I think there will be a beneficiary to the injury of Mike Evans? I do. Do I feel confident right now planting my flag on a player? I don't.
Correct. I feel the exact same way. A lot of guys in Tampa Bay, they can catch passes. Let's go to Jacksonville where D.J. Chark, after the game, was in a walking boot. It was described as an ankle issue. Again, three games left. Talk about a team that is playing for nothing but draft seeding, the Jaguars. Such a disappointing year for Jacksonville. The schedule's fine. Actually, the schedule's pretty good. At Oakland, at Atlanta, home to Indianapolis. You like all of that. Is there anybody who stands to benefit here? Like, is Chris Conley all of a sudden now a priority add for you? Because he had just one catch for 7 yards yesterday.
I mean, it was just a lost game for Jacksonville and just feels like a complete lost season. It'll be interesting to, I mean, you never like to speculate, but that's the nature of our business and the nature of the NFL. Does Doug Marrone survive this season?
Probably not.
I mean, that's a bad, you know, the Chargers lost season and the Chargers came in and kicked the living you-know-what out of them.
You want to make a donation to the swear jar?
No, that's why I said you know what.
I was going to say, but if you wanted to, you could make a donation.
It's for cancer research, yeah, Matthew. On do air, you care?
If you do it on air, it's a $50 donation.
That's accurate, though.
I believe the donation is actually my paycheck.
Yes.
I believe it's the entirety of my paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How much do you care,
bucks.
Matthew? Yeah.
What?
How big is your heart?
Yeah, that's right.
Grinch size, I believe.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
Anyway. Kick the crap out of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
50 cents, but
I don't think that's a swear either.
That's why I said 50 cents. If it was a swear, it'd be a buck.
By the way, I have, just because the swear jar is now coming up, I now, and I don't know how we got into this, Daniel, but somehow Field just came in and decided that we were all going to donate a dollar for a swear jar,
uh-huh.
And we didn't get a vote or anything like that. Field just sort of declared it.
Accurate.
And so I've like just gone along with it, and I now Venmo him a dollar.
I Venmo'd Phil a dollar over the weekend when we were talking about
it. The phone, and I get a notification on my watch, and it was like, oh, Daniel just donated me Venmo'd me a dollar. I like it. I think it's good. I think it is a good model. We are being role models for those out there who listen to this podcast.
Answer your question, yes and no.
Okay.
So do I think Chris Conley benefits? I do. If DJ Chark was to miss some time, do I think he's a priority add? I don't.
Yep. A fair on that one as well. Again, I'm having a hard time getting behind that passing offense. It's been bad the past couple of weeks with Minshew mania. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, D.D. Westbrook also, maybe he steps up a little bit. Again, you like, as you mentioned,
he's
like the matchups,
right?
with Oakland and Atlanta, especially the next 2 weeks. But, yeah, I mean, Minshew looked bad. It feels like as we get further in the playoffs, and we'll talk about this when we get to New England and some other teams as well, does it feel like, there's a lot of teams where you feel like the only guy you can start on this team is so-and-so.
Yeah,
like
correct.
The only guy in the Jags you feel good about starting, you may have to start other guys, but the only guy you feel good about is Fournette.
Correct. That's it. Even he was disappointing yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Dang it, don't remind me. Calvin Ridley gets banged up for the Falcons as well yesterday, Matthew. After another reasonable day for Calvin Ridley, found the end zone. Russell Gage is available in 94% of leagues. Again, remember, Julio Jones back and healthy yesterday. Austin Hooper back and playing
relatively
again yesterday.
Healthy.
Yeah, playing again yesterday. I saw it, I tweeted at the time. There was someone from the Atlanta Falcons whose last name and first name I can't pronounce. He had a 93-yard touchdown. It was his first ever catch. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look it up. Now because
So we do a segment on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus every Monday called Thanks for Nothing.
Right. Okay.
The Bitterberry Puppet, which is voiced by me, the Bitterberry Puppet.
Spoiler alert, Matthew.
You know what? I think people know that. It's me. It's the Bitterberry. So anyway, it's the only puppet I do. Because I'm not a particularly good puppet master.
Accurate.
We actually have people on the show that are pretty good at puppets.
Yes.
Specifically one person. But I am not. I am not good with puppets. But I do the Bitterberry puppet. I control it and I use the voice of it. Anyway, and so we do this scroll of like just all these random people that scored touchdowns. Thanks for Nothing. And
I have his name.
I know our producer is going to, we talked about this. Daniel and I joked about this yesterday. Like, you know, our producer is going to make me. There's certain names that I do say, and there's certain ones I don't. And I'm like, he's definitely going to make me say this name because it's impossible. Go ahead.
Olamide Zaccheaus. Does that sound right? It's close. Whatever.
I have no concept.
Okay.
Keith is vaguely shaking his head yes, which means that we also believe that was correct.
Olamide Zaccheaus, who had a 93-yard touchdown catch.
That's his
first ever catch. Longest reception for a player in the first catch of his NFL career in the history of this great league. So again, not super confident in anybody with Ridley leaving yesterday because of an abdominal issue. It's still Julio, it's still Hooper, Devontae Freeman, and they've got a bad matchup next week against San Francisco.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So yeah, I don't think there's anyone that benefits from Calvin Ridley's injury as such. So let's move on now.
Devontae Parker leaves. Yeah, he leaves early for Miami.
Again, I'm literally not trying to harp on you. I'm literally trying to compliment you. Like, you had, like, Devontae Parker was a member.
I am. Anytime you have to clarify, this is a compliment. Hear me when I say this. I am complimenting you. All right, now here's the terrible thing I'm about to say.
No, all I was going to say is, on his War Room League team, like, Devontae Parker and Leonard Fournette have the bad game. Devontae Parker leaves injured. Like, he just, Field had some terrifically bad luck yesterday.
Not good.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just want some. Anyway, I'm all right. Never mind. I'm out. I'm out on this conversation.
I just want good luck tonight. Devontae Parker leaves the game because of a concussion in the first half after a really beautiful catch by Devontae Parker. Again, continuing that strong season. So the next men up amongst Dolphins wide receivers, Albert Wilson's there. Alan Hearns had 5 catches for 68 yards. Isaiah Ford actually had 6 catches last night for, I believe, 90-plus yards. That's it in terms of guys that catch passes right now for Miami at wide receiver. But can you really throw us any it's a good matchup in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Giants and Cincinnati. But I think I'd have to see it at least once before I trusted anybody.
Especially when you think about next week is week 15. Right. It is a semifinal of the playoffs. And to think that, think about how long it took people to trust Devontae Parker.
Oh, I know. I write the waiver wire.
No, exactly. That's my point.
8 weeks to get off the column.
Wait, exactly. I mean, you were singing his praises for a long, long time before eventually finally people were like, oh, yeah, I guess we can trust this guy. So if it takes you that long to trust Devontae Parker, I can't imagine, unless you're in a super deep league or you're truly desperate, I can't imagine, you know, basically saying semifinal week or the second round of the semifinals, if you're in an ESPN Standard League, like going, yeah, you know what? Isaiah Ford, let's go, baby. Like, could he put up big numbers against the Giants? Of course he could, especially thinking about Giants play tonight, so it'll be a short week for New York. But, yeah, I think, again, like, we go back to, like, who can you start on the Miami Dolphins? I think the only guy you could think about starting is Fitzpatrick. And, again, and that's in, like, a deeper league or a two-quarterback league or if you're sort of streaming guys. But I can't imagine. I mean, we can talk about Patrick Laird a little bit, but
the intern. Yeah, I think deepest of league flex consideration would be Patrick Laird. We got a ton of injuries to get to. Mark Andrews leaves the game early yesterday for Baltimore because of a knee issue. Remember, they play on Thursday night, so sort of like some load management almost by the Baltimore Ravens. Next man up there, I guess it would be Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle both scored yesterday, Matthew, but I don't know, like two tight ends. Like, it was already complicated enough when there were three of them. Not sure I can necessarily say, hey, you know something? Go grab the next Baltimore tight end. They're guaranteed to score a touchdown on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to pick one, it would be Hayden Hurst, who actually, coming out of college, he was thought first of more. He was a first-round pick, and he was
Drafted ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yes,
he was. By the Ravens.
By the Ravens. That's correct. That is 100% correct, and he was considered sort of the pass-catching tight end coming out of college.
Right.
They thought he was coming out of college. The thought was that Hayden Hurst, not Mark Andrews, was going to be the more offensive minded tight end that the Ravens drafted. So I guess if I had to pick one, it's Hayden Hurst. But I will say, Field, and I don't know if you've started looking at the waiver wire column yet.
Started looking. Whole thing's written.
Oh, look at you. See, that's the thing that drives me crazy about Field. There's a lot of things that drive me crazy about Field, but that's one of them. It's like,
now, this is a compliment, Field.
This is a compliment.
Yes.
Because, like, here it is. Like, his column is already done. Like, it takes me, like, getting a column out of me is like, and ask Keith will tell you this. It is like, it is torture. It is like, it is blood from a stone. It is like my columns come in like if my deadline's at 9 a.m., my columns come in at 8:59:59. Maybe. Like, yep. I mean, maybe. Right? I mean, like.
Well, sometimes I think we have a disagreement on whether it's Eastern or Pacific time.
Yes. I think that's accurate.
It's fair.
Accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Keith is unbelievable. We don't pay Keith enough. I'll just let you know that. We do not. Whatever we pay Keith, it is not enough. I assure you all of that. But anyway, my point is yes, Keith, of course, Field is always like early on the deadline and whatever. Field is a Boy Scout. I am a disaster. But, what I would say here is that, specific to Hayden Hurst, is that I think there's actually a pretty deep list of potential tight ends this week for the first time in a long time, right? So, you know, I mean, Ian Thomas, Noah Fant is still available.
Yeah, like, Noah Fant got carted off the field yesterday. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We'll talk about that in a second, but supposedly x-rays were negative, so we'll talk about Noah Fant in a second. But even if Noah Fant is not available, right, you've got Ian Thomas, you've got Tyler Higbee, you've got Dallas Goedert, who's still under 50% rostered. You've got who else am I forgetting here? And you know,
Jacob Hollister.
Hollister. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like there's enough guys.
I gotta remind myself of some of these names.
There's enough guys. I think available. There's one other guy. There's one obvious guy that I'm forgetting.
Amongst tight ends,
I feel like, you know, like Thomas, Higbee.
I think the only ones
Goddard, Fant, and there was one other one. Not Hayden Hurst.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the point is that there are tight ends.
OJ Howard's available more than 50% of leagues.
Yeah. I mean, again, how risky do you feel on OJ Howard, right?
I mean, do you feel any less risky than you do with Hayden Hurst or whatever?
I think it's sometimes it's dance with the devil you do know versus the devil you don't know. Just reverse that. So in this case, you don't want to actually play OJ Howard because you've been burned by him so many times. Like,
fair.
If you play Hayden Hurst and he burns you, it's like, all right, you know something? Like, I took a shot. Like, OJ Howard, I've done it 6 times this year and it's worked out 0 times.
Yeah.
I think people will, again, probably defer to what's happened to them in the past, OJ Howard. But the point is that there are other tight ends available. You might need to also replace Jared Cook, who left yesterday's game after, what, 2 catches? And did he have 2 touchdowns yesterday, Jared
Cook? He had two touchdowns. He should have had one touchdown, but he had 2.
Yeah, it was a play that looked like it probably should have been overturned. Whatever, anyways.
It was weird. He got a tough hit. It was a tough hit, but yeah, he hits the ground. The ball hits. Like, I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what pass interference is, and I don't know what a catch is.
You know who also doesn't know?
Who's that?
NFL officials. Has the NFL officiating ever been worse?
It's brutal. I saw somebody say this on Twitter, and I forget who it was, but it's unbelievable that the NFL, this is what their comment was, which was like, it's amazing that the NFL added replay on pass interference and yet somehow still made the officiating worse.
Oh my God. It's terrible. It's so bad.
Listen, it is tough to be an NFL official. There is no question about it. But with technology today, listen, it is a hard job. And to do it in real time is unbelievable. And I think they get more right than they get wrong. But when they get it wrong, it is magnified. And because of the technology and there's so much at stake, I just don't understand why the NFL doesn't take more steps to review, to limit the challenges. I mean, we saw it in the New England game where, like, had Bill Belichick not run out of challenges, like, that game might have turned out differently. It's a topic for another show.
So back to Jared Cook. He leaves yesterday. Is there anybody besides? Is there a non-tight end in New Orleans that you think stands to benefit? I agree on that one. No Fant, we talked about earlier. He got carted off. You're saying the x-rays are negative, Matthew.
Those were the reports out of last night. But
still, I mean, carted off. Like it's
right.
So I don't know that we can necessarily bank on the fact that Fant will definitely be back next week against the Chiefs. But he looked awesome yesterday. 4 for 113 with a touchdown. Drew Lock also looked awesome yesterday. Fant is one of those guys who has looked apart since his days at Iowa. The guy, I remember saying this to somebody at the time, the closest thing athletically I'd seen to Gronk in quite some time. Now, this was before George Kittle in college did not look like what George Kittle does now. Obviously, George Kittle is legitimately Gronk. The closest thing to Gronk right now. But Noah Fant, in terms of prospects who looked like it in college, looked Gronkian at times. He was awesome yesterday. Very Gronkian, 4 for 113 in the touchdown.
He's going to be rightfully so a trendy sleeper next year.
For sure. Especially if Drew Locke continues to finish up strong this season.
What an embarrassing loss for the Texans, by the way.
Who are they?
Who are you?
They're schizophrenic.
What are you doing? Yeah. Like, you're at home against a rookie quarterback making his second start ever. You just shut down the Patriots.
Yeah, it's emotion. It's the emotions. Can you bring it consistently? It's one of the hardest challenges in sports for teams that are very, very good, is bringing it night in. And when you have that arrow on your that target on your back, it's hard to bring it every single night. The Texans had the inverse problem. They brought it so hard last night. That was their Super Bowl, right? I mean, not literally, but that was the most important game on their schedule, and they failed to deliver yesterday in a game they should win. Darius Geis also gets hurt again, Matthew. Word is it's another knee injury for Geis. Hard for me to envision him playing again this season.
Me as well, given that the Redskins were, even in the awful NFC East, the Redskins were officially eliminated from the playoffs yesterday.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I know. I had dreams of, 7-9 the hard way. Anyway, so yeah, I'm happy that the Redskins lost, as you guys know, and I would agree with you, Field. As somebody who is a massive Darius Geis fan, I do not want to see him again this year.
Yeah, I doubt he plays again this year.
Yeah,
seems pretty
he needs
obvious
to, there, right? Just get healthy, get him a better offensive line, get healthy. But Adrian Peterson suddenly, the schedule doesn't scare you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever. Right, he's not involved in the passing game. I get it. But
so, right in the waiver call, the idea, for this week is like, players that can actually help you, right? Like, it's week 15.
Right.
Like, are you really making a waiver wire move? Like, these injuries, yes, but so many of them are tight ends and so many of them are running backs that were like complimentary pieces, but not necessarily like, Darius Geis, complimentary piece. Rashad Penny, we'll talk about right now too. Rashad Penny leaves the game early in that game for Seattle. It's a knee injury, sounded serious from the get go. Pete Carroll talked about it last night. It doesn't sound like a torn ACL, but it sounds like it could be a season ender as well for Rashad Penny. So Penny had been good the past couple of weeks. But basically what I'm talking about is the guys who we are describing right now are mostly players that have been added on the waivers recently because they had seen an emerging role. So it's hard to replace them with somebody else because there's just not that many players that check the appropriate boxes here. Nobody in Seattle.
I was going to say, think there's anyone in Seattle that steps up in that Rashad Penny role?
It's just going to have to be more of Chris Carson, who was obviously, no one was good last night for Seattle, but he was fine. I mean, fine himself relative to what they did for the entire night.
He's going to be an RB1 for the rest of the season.
I feel that same way as well, as would Josh Jacobs if he returns to the field. But he didn't play yesterday because of a shoulder injury, and we kind of got late word on this one. Wasn't entirely clear going into the 1 p.m. slate. So people that were making decisions on Josh Jacobs either rolled the dice and got burned, or they wisely inserted somebody earlier who might have been their best option other than Jacobs. But maybe there is some value here on the waiver wire, Matthew. Now, it's hard to say just how much time Josh Jacobs will miss. He was a game-time decision yesterday, which makes you think he's got at least a chance to play next week. But DeAndre Washington was the next man up. He's available in 91% of leagues. He played over 60% of the snaps, and he made good with over 21 fantasy points.
He was terrific. 14 for 53 and a touchdown. 6 catches for 43 yards. I mean, when you think about how little Josh Jacobs was used in the passing game, and that Jalen Richard has been their third down back all season long, I was surprised that DeAndre Washington, not Jalen Richard, led the running backs in receptions and targets. And so DeAndre Washington, it's interesting. So the Raiders have been eliminated, correct?
I don't think so.
They've been eliminated from the AFC
alive? West, or just alive in the wild card, I believe.
Right, okay.
Still might take a bigger picture view and be like, Josh Jacobs is playing through a broken shoulder.
Broken
I don't know.
Shoulder.
There are injuries that can't get worse by playing. It's just a matter of pain tolerance. And reportedly, Josh Jacobs really wanted to play yesterday, which would make sense. He seems a competitive dude. But grab DeAndre Washington for now. We'll talk about him more in the waiver wire show tomorrow. But he will be the next man up based off what we saw yesterday if Jacobs sits again on Sunday.
And the upcoming schedule is decent. A Jaguars team that is completely, next week is great, right? I mean, the Jaguars' deep run defense has been brutal this year, and they seem to have completely given up this year. Then they're at the Chargers, doesn't really scare you.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then at Denver, another one that doesn't really scare you in week 17. So anyway, there's real potential value in DeAndre Washington, because they do commit to the run. DeAndre Washington had a really nice really nice game yesterday, and in fact almost had a second touchdown. They ended up giving it to the fullback, and the fullback got stuffed at the 1 yard line. But yeah, DeAndre Washington looked the part.
He sure did.
I just want to say this really quickly. It took us 25 minutes to get through all of the injuries that happened in week one of the playoffs, and we didn't even like filibuster all that much. Like, what a brutal week for a playoff week to have all these players get hurt.
Well, and not only that, Daniel, but like at least Josh Jacobs, like you knew before the 4 o'clock game.
Assuming
like,
you had the Fantasy Life app, you knew.
Yeah, assuming that you had the Fantasy Life app, 100%.
What's that?
By the way, I started DeAndre Washington in the War Room League, which ended up helping me, and I got him and Bilal Powell, who, by the way, also left the game early yesterday. I mean, it was in the fourth quarter late in the game, but Bilal Powell left the game yesterday too. And because I was sitting on air, I got the alert on my phone that Josh Jacobs was in danger of missing the game. I got the alert that Le'Veon Bell was in danger of missing the game, and I picked both guys up immediately. And both guys started for me in a 16-team league. I don't understand why anyone doesn't download the Fantasy Life app. It is 100% free. Give me 3 days. Download the app. Give me 3 days. And if you hate it, delete it. It will cost you absolutely nothing, but I promise you it will change your life.
It's better late than never. I don't know if he started these guys yesterday, but Joe Mixon has found his mojo recently. Joe Mixon had 23 carries for 146 yards plus a touchdown. He had 3 catches. For 40 yards as well. Upcoming schedule for the Bengals is the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Browns, who they played yesterday. He's got at least 17 points in 5 of 6 games. Are we now back to the point where Joe Mixon belongs in that top 15 to 20 running back conversation for the final 3 weeks of this season?
No.
Okay. How come?
Only because he plays New England next week.
Okay. So you're nervous about next week.
I'm worried
Patriots,
about next week.
Who do allow the fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs and did a good job yesterday on the Chiefs' backs as well. So you're scared for this week.
I'm scared for this week. He'll make the hate list, I'm sure, for me for this week. But he's been terrific. So listen, the first 7 weeks of the season, this is a guy that averaged under 9 fantasy points per game. He was brutal,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and we were like, sell him for 50 cents on the dollar, whatever you can get, right? But what's been exciting is that his usage has been terrific. So he was coming into this week, he was on the love list, and we talked about him on Fantasy Football Now as well in terms of the usage that we had seen the week before. We talked about the matchup with Cleveland, right? 23 for 146. He scores. He also catches 3 balls for 40 yards. That's what's been exciting. He already has 7 catches in December. He had 3 catches in all of November. And so Joe Mixon, who has at least 17 fantasy points in 5 of his last 6, I do think can be a difference maker in week 16 against Miami.
But
I can't imagine starting him next. I mean, or he's a flex play and you hope for the best. You hope he falls into the end zone.
If you're playing in a 2-week semifinals, which is the default setting on ESPN, then you can probably do it based upon how your first week went.
Yes.
Like, he might be good enough for like between 8 and 10 points next week. I just wouldn't count on 18 to 20 points from Joe Mixon. The other player who's been good actually has been available on the waiver wire column in several of the past weeks, but now is no longer available in 50% of leagues. Robbie Anderson had 7 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. He needs a hard charge, does Anderson. Because he's about to become a free agent. He is due to be a free agent after this season. He's got 14 catches, which is 7 catches apiece over the past 2 games. Prior to that, he had 2.6 catches per game. You buying this? Because the Jets' schedule is about to get real tough.
I'm buying it, and then I'm not.
Okay.
So I'm buying it, then, I think this is all, like, legit. Like, again, he was another guy that was on the love list for me coming into this week. He's a guy that scored in 4 straight. We talked about sort of the Jets' stretch of really good games. Like, when we were talking up Sam Darnold, we talked about Robbie Anderson. We talked about him on the waiver wire column. We've talked about him a lot over the last couple of weeks of, like, hey, here's a guy to pick up. Here's a guy that we think can help you down the stretch. He's had over 17 fantasy points each of the last 3 weeks. He scored in 3 of the last 4. But, to your point, at Baltimore, home to Pittsburgh, at Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, because Robbie Anderson is a little boomer bust, he's big play dependent, and the secondary, Baltimore is so good at perimeter wide receivers. Like, I think I'll have Jamison Crowder ranked higher than Robbie Anderson next for the Thursday game against the Ravens.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, Steelers have played such good defense these days.
Right, and both the Steelers and the Bills are average enough offensively that you can't even count on jump time for Robbie Anderson.
Correct.
Like, if you play him on Thursday night, you are hoping it's 35-0 at halftime, and Robbie Anderson plunges into the end zone to make it only like a 14 field goal game. It's kind of what you're hoping for.
That's correct.
This new branded commercial segment has been brought to you by Old Spice Sweat Defense and their longtime NFL spokesperson, rookie Montez Sweat, who they have always been a fan of and never once would run any other ads to the contrary. In fact, Old Spice wouldn't ever consider a person named Sweat and Real Sweat as the same thing. That would be just crazy. Reminding you that Montez Sweat's name is Sweat, he plays defense, and Old Spice Sweat Defense is the superior defense against Sweat. Isn't that a great coincidence? That's it for now. Bye!
I think you did a good job with that field.
Thank you, Daniel. I really
That's a tough one. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
You know what I did? I put a lot of blood, tears, and sweat.
Oh!
Damn.
That's a dollar.
Well, is, I was just going to say.
That's not a dollar!
The D word is absolutely.
The D word is referring to a beaver.
The H word is. You said,
I was referring to a beaver.
Why did you just randomly call Beaver Dam?
Because I am because I looked at Secret Scroll and he looks beaverish.
Oh,
with
stop
that beard.
It! Okay,
don't
first off,
he is far more handsome.
Yeah,
than
this
any beaver.
That is such an insult in the animal community to call a squirrel
a
beaver.
I don't think that word is a swear.
Okay,
I do not because here's how I define a swear. Again, I work for the. I'm a cast member of the Walt Disney Corporation. Correct.
That's good. Yeah.
Right. I'm a full time employee of the Walt Disney Company.
Cool.
And.
Cool.
Yeah. And I am, what my job for the Walt Disney Company is to be a front facing, what we call talent.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
To be consumer facing.
News to me.
And talent is used very liberally.
Yeah.
Here.
Loose description of that
loose,
word.
Very loose description. But as a consumer facing personality for the company.
So many buzzwords
yes,
right now.
Say,
if
also,
I so were good. To swear.
Personality.
Yeah. That would be, if I were to swear on our airwaves.
Yeah. Sure.
That would be a problem. That would go against our company guidelines and our policies.
Yep.
That would be an issue. I would be spoken to. I would be brought into HR.
I'm speaking to you right now.
Normie Puppet would yell at me on the set of the fantasy show.
Uh-huh. Day is young.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But my point is that I have no concerns over the fact that I just said that word.
Okay. Well,
if I said something else, then if I said a word that started with the letter F.
You know what, Matthew?
Or a word that started with the letter S. Those would be issues.
Yeah.
Now,
but I'm saying that letter starting with the letter D.
Right.
Is not going to get me in trouble, and so I do not believe that is a swear word.
Funny
did
enough,
we ever do this poll?
Yeah, we did. And funny enough,
it was 75% that said it's not.
No, they said
they said the H word
wasn't
correct. So funny enough, though, Disney is not the arbiter
yes,
of bad words that contribute to deposits into the swear jar.
You know
I am.
Is? Yeah,
I am.
Wait, so you make up this rule and then you declare yourself judge and jury?
Correct.
That is not fair.
I'm the NFL.
You can be judge, but you don't get to be jury.
Ask the NFL how that works.
You're not the NFL.
For now,
you're not the NFL. Absolutely.
Who
not.
Says I'm
for
not?
The record, Dot Mama on Twitter is the vice president of the swear jar,
yeah,
and
what is Dot Mama?
She thinks the D word is a swear word.
Got him. Later. $1.
I'm not doing a dollar, but I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you.
I'll tell you what. Phil,
half your paycheck.
I'll do a dollar just so that cancer research can continue to be funded.
You know,
Phil, I'll do it,
Daniel,
for you.
I'll match that.
Look at you.
I'll match that. I'll double it. $2. Some of us are magnanimous.
That's right.
You know what?
Chivalry is dead. I'm sorry. What was that?
It said F both of you.
Hey, cool. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, good idea. What are you doing with Aaron Rodgers next week against Chicago? Because Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted, yeah. Aaron Rodgers was facing arguably the best defense in the NFL yesterday. Arguably not the best defense as well in the Redskins. But you could, I mean, theoretically, you could argue for them. Okay, not even Matthew's going to argue the Redskins are the best defense in the NFL. But a bad day for Aaron Rodgers. 18 for 28, 195, a touchdown and a fumble lost. He's currently, he's been quarterback 20 or worse in 4 of his past 5 games. Is he even startable against the Bears next week? Ugh!
I think he is. Like, again, I haven't done my rankings yet, but my guess is he's top 12-ish for me, somewhere in that range.
What's the case for that?
Startable. Here's the case. You're going to think I'm crazy. One of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers didn't have such a big game is because they were able to run so effectively against the Redskins. He didn't play great either. The Redskins came to play. They actually played tough. They hung tough.
Yeah, they're close.
And this one, they're close, according to some.
Me included.
Yeah, you think they're close?
Yeah.
It was about as good as you could have expected from a Redskins 100%. Team while still losing. You got
that
the fun
correct.
Game, and really then
was.
You also got the
yeah,
really
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And the game was in Lambeau and Chirp. But they ran effectively. Aaron Jones, once again, was awesome. Free Aaron Jones. Hashtag free Aaron Jones. But I believe it or not, whereas the Chicago defense is better than the Redskins, I actually think the Chicago offense, part of the problem is they didn't need to score any points because the Washington offense was so brutal yesterday, right? I mean, they score a touchdown late because Terry McLaurin makes an unbelievable catch. He's been one of the few bright spots of an otherwise brutal season, but McLaurin's just amazing. But I'm sort of buying the rebirth of Mitchell Trubisky. We talked about it a little bit on Friday of last week,
yeah,
right? He's now had a couple of good games in a row. He looked good. Dak ended up having a good fantasy day on Thursday night, all in junk time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not a believer in the Packers defense, and I'm not really, they're okay. I think they're middle of the pack.
Okay.
If you think the Bears can move the ball against the Green Bay Packers, which I do, they'll have had 10 days to prepare for this game.
Okay.
Then I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw.
Okay.
So am I excited about him? Is he going to make the love list? No, but is he startable was the question to me.
Yep.
And yes, I think he is startable. I think he's going to be in that 10 to 15 range. So depending on your other options, depending on the size of your league, do I think he's startable? I think he's going to be a high-end QB2, low-end QB1, high-end QB2 for me next week. I'm just, without having looked at anything, my guess is he's going to be in the 12-ish range.
If you roster Aaron Rodgers, are you picking up Mitch Trubisky to start him over Aaron Rodgers?
God, that's a great question.
Thank you. Put a dollar in the jar for that.
How desperate are you for a dollar? I'm going to, you know what? I will make, I'm going to Venmo you a dollar right now. Right freaking now, just because you're a little bit sad
right
and
there.
Pathetic.
Be
it's a little sad and needy, but I'm going to do it right now, Field Yates.
Mm.
While this happens, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Please do, yeah.
I mean, Mitchell Trubisky,
The
reason why this has come on is just because he's been able to use his legs so effectively the last couple weeks, correct? Because from a pass catcher standpoint, or a pass thrower standpoint, he's still a very average quarterback, but he's been running the ball more and he's been more efficient.
You are speaking the truth there, Daniel. Completely agree.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, it's been tough sledding for Aaron Rodgers. So let's get through a couple other options. Carson Wentz plays tonight, Matthew.
So the question is, I haven't really crunched my numbers. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not, but I'm not ruling it out. I mean, I'm fence sitting here and I'm completely owning this. Like, I haven't.
Let's file this one away for a potential board bet later on in the week. Just for fun.
Where's your take on it? By the way, what should I put down for Venmo? Why am I paying this for you? What's the emoji for guilt?
Freaking awesome.
Can you just, what is the emoji for guilt?
I think there's one that has a zipper across your mouth.
Yeah.
I think that one would be ideal.
Okay.
Is there a beaver emoji in there or no?
Oh, let me look.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, so Carson Wentz would be another name to consider to play over Aaron Rodgers. Carson Wentz has 5 top 10 finishes this season. Aaron Rodgers has just 4. Carson Wentz enters with 3 straight games of 40-plus passing attempts, and I just got a dollar from Matthew. I now have $3 in my Venmo account. Oh, all contributed by Matthew Perry. Interesting. I'm going to profit off of you.
I think you already have.
Rest of the season, you ready?
Yeah, what do you got?
Aaron Rodgers or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
Okay. I think I feel the same way.
I mean,
the matchups are just better.
Yeah, well, I may change my name after
Washington,
tonight.
Washington-Dallas Giants with the Giants tonight.
Right, exactly.
Feel the same way.
All right,
two more here,
game.
Yep. Because, and it's a little bit more, I don't need just a name, just a little bit of insight, too. Jameis Winston, who is the funnest player of all time, who is crazy. So I'll just have a quick story here, because I told this to you yesterday, and I have been squatting on a stat for, like, weeks and weeks, maybe months now. For those who don't know, Kyle is usually the very first person here in the studio in the morning, and then I follow up after him.
Right.
At one point when Jameis Winston was having a moment, I was like, you know what? There's got to be some historical context between Jameis Winston and his interceptions. This was two months ago. So I went and looked it up, and Jameis Winston at the time, I believe, was 13 interceptions shy of Aaron Rodgers for their entire career.
Right.
Mind you, Jameis Winston was drafted 10 years after Aaron Rodgers. Now, I know that Aaron Rodgers did not play for the first couple years of his career.
But still.
But I sat on it and I told Kyle, I said, this is going to be the most beautiful tweet of all time. I'm going to wait until Jameis Winston ties Aaron Rodgers. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to say career interceptions. Jameis Winston, 85. Aaron Rodgers, 85. So here we are sitting in the war room yesterday. I opened up my Twitter application and I happened to see someone had retweeted into my timeline. I believe it was football guy Chase who had this. Maybe.
Right.
Let me see. God, Twitter moved so fast yesterday.
I'd have to dig it up. That someone else had tweeted something like, Aaron Rodgers had been in the NFL 10 years shorter than Jameis Winston. Or longer than Jameis Winston. And now Jameis Winston has two fewer interceptions than Aaron Rodgers. It was like not a great day for me fantasy wise yesterday. And that tweet that I've been squatting on for months, I was so excited to use it and I lost it. And kudos to the person. I'm not going to sit here and say that person did great. It was a great tweet by that person. Great tweet by
and
that person.
And I know who you're following, and he's a member of our friends over at Football Guys and they do a great job and he's really good. He's really good on Twitter. Super smart
tweet.
Football guy.
But Jameis Winston's fun. Jameis Winston is fun, even if my tweet never came to life. I just want you all to know that is a great tweet. Jameis Winston had 456 passing yards yesterday, plus four touchdowns, three interceptions. He had a rushing touchdown, Matthew. He had a slight fracture in his thumb, too, or hand or something.
Dude, so Jameis Winston was on the hate list for me this week. I just have to cop to this.
Yeah,
right?
It happens.
No, I know, but like,
wrong.
I mean, like...
Wrong.
So
I was wrong.
Dumb. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Like, it was brutal. What are you pointing at to me?
The call of shame. The call of shame bell. Yeah, but that's not how it works.
No,
it's either
know,
the
but
call
it
of fame or the
shame.
No, that's not. Yeah. You can't. Don't do it, Matthew.
Yeah,
it's not for this purpose. Don't do it, Matthew. It's not for this. Matthew, that's not what
shame.
The bell is for.
Shame. Shame. I deserve your scorn and shame.
It's not.
Jameis Winston was on my hate list.
That's not.
Look. He struggles against zone, which Indianapolis.
He struggles against defenses in general.
I mean, wait, he threw three picks. He threw a pick six in this game. He missed a series in this game because he had the hand injury. The Colts normally play at a very slow, methodical pace.
Glacial pace, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, so I thought there's going to be not a lot of possessions. He struggles against the zone. I have him outside my top 10. And then Jameis Winston. Throws three picks, misses a series, and yet 456 passing yards, five total touchdowns, including a rushing touchdown, 34.7 fantasy points. It's his best game of the year by far, and Jameis drives me crazy because not only sometimes you get good Jameis, sometimes you get bad Jameis. There is no rhyme or reason when you get good Jameis or bad Jameis. I will tell you, and I will tell everyone here, I just cop to it. Shame. Shame.
Too loud.
Shame.
Too loud.
Field Yates. Like, so in two different leagues, I had a decision between Jameis Winston or Carson Wentz. I started Carson Wentz in both of them. So we'll see how that pays out tonight, but I'm guessing it's not going to be 34.7 fantasy points. I ended up winning both games anyway. So just, you know, no big deal. NBD, just throwing that in there.
It was a compliment, Field. He won both of his games, just so you know. That's a compliment for you.
Okay. Nice job.
But,
nice job.
But, I mean, like, listen, I had a friend that texted me saying, Jameis Winston or Kirk Cousins. I said Kirk Cousins. I had another friend that texted me Jameis Winston or Deshaun Watson. I said Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that one was fine. Watson still got you 27 points.
Yeah, Watson was
fine. We got to keep ripping through here. Jameis Winston is super, super difficult to size up.
Would you have disagreed? If you'd been texted any of those, would you have said Wentz over Winston? Would you have said Cousins over Winston?
The only one I would have considered would have been Winston over Cousins. Just, but then
Detroit? Wow.
But he's Winston. He's so high volume. I don't know. But again, I don't know. I mean, I only have him in one league, and I played him in that one league, and you reap the rewards of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also understand that Jameis Winston could follow this up with 3 points next week. Ryan Tannehill had another monster day yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, 391 passing yards, three touchdowns, 19 rushing yards, 27.5 fantasy points. He is red hot.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
That ain't it, man.
No.
That ain't it.
I'm going to make that happen. That's my new fetch.
Definitely isn't it, but my point is that Ryan Tannehill has been on fire, Matthew. It doesn't even matter about the matchup anymore. Houston twice and New Orleans at home. Who knows how far this Titans team is going to go, but if they do go far, it will be in large part because of Ryan Tannehill, who has been awesome. He should be added. I keep writing about him on the waiver column. Get off the waiver column, people.
You've been writing about him forever. Since week 7, Field. Since week 7, among qualified quarterbacks on a per-game basis, he's the second best quarterback in fantasy.
Hey, that's ridiculous.
He's the second best quarterback in fantasy since week 7, since he became the starter for the Tennessee Titans. He gets the Houston Texans this week. 7 different times the Texans have allowed over 23 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Last 3 games, Ryan Tannehill, 77.6 completion percentage, 277 passing yards per game, 7 passing touchdowns, just 1 interception. That's the last 3 games. He's now accounted for multiple touchdowns in 7 straight with 18 or more fantasy points in 6 of those games. He's been nothing short of amazing. Who do you blame more, the Titans for sticking with Marcus Mariota until week 7? Or the Miami Dolphins for not getting enough out of Ryan Tannehill all those years?
Not really the blame game. You know, come on. I mean, he was not the same player in Miami. He was not consistent, not nearly consistent enough in Miami to merit them sticking with him for one more year. It was time, and I'm just happy for him that he has found his footing with Tennessee. And part of it is because he's got some outstanding skill guys around him. Derrick Henry remains an absolute freight train, and A.J. Brown has been terrific. His third massive week of the season. I understand that there is some serious risk involved because he has some games like last week with just 3 catches. But it's the playoffs, Matthew, and if you're looking for some upside, you're down big in a 2-week semifinal after this week. Throw A.J. Brown in the mix. The dude just keeps popping every time you see him on Sundays.
He is the ultimate boom-bust guy. 3 different top 7 finishes this season, as you have said. But he also has 6 different finishes as wide receiver 60 or worse, 10 games this year with 5 or fewer targets. All that said, off of the big play, after what you saw what he did against Oakland, you have to believe, and as Ryan Tannehill becomes more and more confident, and this is his team, you have to expect that they're going to continue to go to A.J. Brown. And because there's such a focus on the run game and because you have to dedicate so many defenders in the box to trying to slow down Derrick Henry, that just gets you some one-on-one matchups with A.J. Brown, which is what you saw in the big touchdown. They just exploited it. It was a loaded box and just boom, right? I mean, A.J. Brown, that kid's special.
Well, that's the thing, is that this time of the year, when you're looking at players who have random nice days, right? Someone who has, we'll talk about Kendrick Bourne in a minute. Like, A.J. Brown should be having great days because he was a really well-regarded prospect, which is why he makes the waiver wire column as a priority ad as opposed to some of the other guys that had nice days, but you're not super confident in them. So let's move along to the big portion of the 49ers. But first,
I was just going to ask you, is Ryan Tannehill comeback player of the year? I got 3 nominees.
He would be up there for sure.
Here are my other 2 nominees. You tell me if I'm forgetting everyone.
Okay.
My 3 nominees would be Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook.
I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head, but those all sound good to me. Yeah.
Anyone else that's comeback really player of the year? Yeah. I mean, you know.
I'm sure there's somebody that could be discussed, but those are all.
Would Hunter Henry be a part of that conversation?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Hunter Henry, but he hasn't been the impact that those 3 have.
That's accurate.
Go look at those.
But he has come back nice.
He'd be a nominee.
Yeah. But probably won't win.
Wouldn't win.
Yeah.
If you needed 5 nominees, you just throw him sort of in there.
Yeah.
But I think there's a. Dalvin Cook might get my vote, and Garoppolo's been terrific, although it's been more than but boy, oh boy, you can make a strong case that it's Ryan Tannehill.
You sure could. Let's talk about the 49ers in a second, Matthew, but first, do a little live read from you right here in my hand,
you. That one, not the other one? Okay. Field, you love the holidays. I know that.
I
go to @FieldYates on the gram, and I see pictures of you and Chapin.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are doing the holidays part. You're doing the holiday parties. You're doing everything. So I know you love the holidays. I know Secret Squirrel, he loves the holidays. I just recently got invited. I don't know if you got your invite yet, but I got invited to the beard decorating ceremony that Daniel's going to have for the holidays. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Mine got lost in the mail, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, I've just been out shopping for, little ornaments. Anyway, burglars also love the holidays. They know you're going out to shop for last-minute gifts, off to visit family, going on long vacation. So you have to ask yourself, what does real protection mean to you? Well, with ADT, you can get all the latest innovation in smart home security combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. Customize your system to fit your door, everything, video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, all controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. Help protect your home this holiday season. Get the nation's number one smart home security provider. Get ADT. Go to ADT.com today.
I just got to tell you. One thing about, I checked my Venmo and I got it from Matthew and I opened up the email. Matthew's Venmo profile picture is his LinkedIn photo. I don't know if you're on LinkedIn, but it looks like a LinkedIn photo. Very corporate of you.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure ultimately. Right now, my Venmo is private.
Oh, okay.
And so I wasn't sure whether to. Right now, I honestly use my Venmo for 2 things. That's not true. I use my Venmo for 3 things.
Okay.
There's only 3 things in this world that I use it for.
Yep.
Sending dollars to Field for the stupid swear jar.
Yep. Accurate. Yep.
sending money to my kids in college.
Yep. Yep. Kyle's called both of these so far. He's right.
I got a third one.
And then
paying dues in fantasy leagues?
What?
Paying dues in fantasy leagues?
And back and forth. So, like, us and the staff of the fantasy show,
right,
we all participate in a DFS weekly contest every week. And so we trade money that
way.
So
it's, you're the guy.
Anyway. And so collecting winnings. I won my fourth one last
week. All right, we got to keep things rolling.
So there you go.
Was a ton of fun in that San Francisco New Orleans game. The 49ers are so, so impressive. Let's rip through a few 49ers topics, beginning with, is Raheem Mostert now a viable flex play? Because the eye test tells me he's the best runner on the team.
I said it on Fantasy Football Now. We had this discussion, me, you, and Stefania, about which was the best 49ers running back to play. And I was Team Mostert yesterday morning, so obviously I haven't changed after this. I agree with you. From the eye test, now, there's always a concern that Kyle Shanahan, I don't think Kyle Shanahan goes into a game knowing who it's going to be. I think he rides the hot hand, but recently it's been Raheem Mostert. Tevin Coleman is welcome to Dumpsville if you haven't dropped him already.
Right.
Don't you think in a redraft league?
Sure. Yeah.
In a redraft league, he is absolutely welcome to Dumpsville, but he's now scored in three straight games, Mostert. He's averaging 6 yards per carry this season, and in his career, when he gets 10 or more carries, he's averaging 7 yards per carry. So the concern here is only the volume. There's only been three times this entire year that a 49ers running back has received more than 17 touches. Like, even in the game that he had in a crazy high-scoring game with a ton of possessions going back and forth, Raheem Mostert only had 12 touches.
Yeah.
He had 10 for 69 and a touchdown, 2 for 40 yards and a touchdown. That was the one big play there. But I will say that, when you read the love list in week 15, don't be surprised if you see Raheem Mostert like on others receiving votes or whatever.
No, I agree.
I think, especially against Atlanta.
He's playing a ton more snaps. He's their most explosive runner. He is their most powerful runner. He might be their fastest runner as well. I know Breida probably is the fastest one, but Mostert certainly plays fast. It's why he's a huge part of their special teams, or has been in the past. Love him as a flex option going forward. Emmanuel Sanders, we didn't have ranked inside our top 30 this week, and yet yesterday he went off, not just for 7 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown. He threw one. He threw a 35-yard touchdown pass to Raheem Mostert. He has been really, really quiet over his past 4 games. 10 catches, 113 yards, 0 touchdowns over his past 4 games preceding this one. Is yesterday a bounce-back thing? This is who he is going forward? Or is it possible that it goes 1 good game, 4 bad games, 1 good game, and then 3 sort of average games going forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, Emmanuel Sanders is somebody like you and I talked about him in flex appeal on Fantasy Football Now. And I was sort of like, yeah, listen, he's a talented player and maybe, but like, I mean, there wasn't a lot. I mean, this game came out of nowhere. There was obviously the 35-yard pass, one big play here. And this game was also insane.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. Best game of the year.
Oh, it's an unbelievable game, but also, shocking, like, I'll just cop to it. Can you hand me the shame bell? I need to own this.
No,
that's not what it's for. That's not how this works.
All right. Anyway, whatever. Drew Brees was on my hate list. I'm just going to cop to it and own it. Mea culpa. Who thought that, 75-year-old Drew Brees would have his second best fantasy game of all time against
the 49ers?
Come
on, you're no sprint chicken. You can't go out calling people out 75 years old here.
He's older than me in the NFL than I am in entertainment.
Wow. Anyways, it was a great day for Drew
Brees. He's better at his job than I am.
That's also true. Let's keep things moving there. Emmanuel Sanders was great, Matthew. I don't think he's a must-start wide receiver every single week going forward. We saw that. It was a great day, but it was also an atypical day for the 49ers. They don't need to score 45 or 48 points every single game. And against Atlanta this upcoming week, I'll have Sanders probably 25 or so amongst wide receivers.
I think that's right.
I'll compensate a little bit, but not super overcompensate.
I certainly feel a lot better about Emmanuel Sanders going forward than I do Kendrick Bourne.
Right. And that's a question. People are asking, is it even worth adding Kendrick Bourne? I say no. I mean, listen, 5 catches for a touchdown over his past 6 games. He had 3 for 18 and 2 touchdowns yesterday. I'm glad he's getting red zone work, Matthew, but if he was a tight end, I'd say sure. He's a wide receiver. There are so many wide receivers that have better volume on catches, which are far more predictable than touchdowns week to week.
We 100% agree there, Field Yates. So, yes. Emmanuel Sanders, I think, a wide receiver 3 going forward.
This is sort of a little bit of a very specific to one player. Just a general question. Like, how much of a downgrade do you apply to players when they're facing off against San Francisco? Like, more of a tiebreaker now? Because there was a time where you'd be like, whoa, don't play him at all. Now, they did a good job against the Ravens. It was a sloppy game. It was so much, it was just wet. Yesterday, didn't seem to slow down anybody on the Saints offense.
It didn't. I think using it as tiebreaker, and I think it depends on the player, it depends on the offense, it depends on the situation. So, like, I would not have said yesterday, going into yesterday, I would not have said bench Alvin Kamara. I would not have said bench Michael Thomas. Obviously, I had both those. But, look, I'm copping to it. Like, I had Drew Brees outside my top 10.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, you may have better options than Drew Brees. And, you know, I certainly had, like, Ryan Tannehill ranked ahead of him.
Right.
Which, Tannehill had a nice game. Didn't have Drew Brees numbers. And like Jared Cook is somebody that I would have, if somebody had texted me and said like, hey, Jared Cook or this guy, depending on who the other guy was, you know, like Jared Cook, I had, you know, as a borderline tight end 1, so lower than I normally would in a home game for Jared Cook. So yeah, I mean, I feel like this game is an outlier for both teams, specifically the 49ers defense.
Yeah. I think you feel the same
and
way.
So yeah, I think it ultimately depends.
I still fear them for the most part.
Sure.
I mean, again, Julio Jones I'm playing next week, but you know, we can have a conversation about Matt Ryan later on in the week. A tough day for David Blau and the Detroit Lions. They have just one touchdown. But before we get to that, take a quick break and I think have a word from the Fantasy Show. We're back. A couple of topics to wrap things up on today's show. Before we get to that, really cool news, Matthew. You're going to share this one for us.
So we have an exciting announcement here. Right. You know, guys, you know me. Hashtag company man. Right. I'm a company man. So we are super excited to team up with Dolby Soho and Star Wars. That's right. Dolby Soho and Star Wars this Wednesday, 2 days from today, Wednesday, December 11th, 6 to 8 p.m. We are doing a Star Wars theme fantasy focus football podcast live. So here's what you're going to do. You are going to take an epic journey with us to a galaxy far, far away at the Dolby Soho Star Wars experience in New York City. Explore the Dolby technologies that have powered over 40 years of the Star Wars legacy and discover Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the riveting conclusion of the seminal Skywalker saga in a Dolby cinema near you starting December 20th. So here's what's going to happen, Field. Myself, Star Fanya Bell, Secret Squirrel, are going to be there, and the three of us are going to do a super intimate and, more importantly, free live show. Here's what you have to do, and this is where it pays to watch us live. You just head over to events.dolby.com/fantasyfocusfootball. Once again, that's events.dolby.com/fantasyfocusfootball and reserve your spot. Now, there are only 75 spots available. It's in the intimate Dolby DJ lab. And we're going to make it, so we want to make it a really fun, intimate, memorable experience for everyone in the Fantasy Focus family and our Star Wars fans out there. Obviously, I'm a massive Star Wars fan. Secret Squirrel, I know you're a massive
Huge Star Wars fan.
Stefania is as well. Unfortunately, you and Mike Clayfield, you had other commitments. This came about a little bit late, but it is going to be me, Secret Squirrel, Stefania Bell. Thirsty Kyle actually wrote a book report over Star Wars a few years ago. And so maybe we'll make him get up and see what he's learned. Anyway, so I think we'll have a fun event there. Thirsty Kyle will be there. Not Cool Keith will be there. All you have to do, once again, to reserve your free spot, it is this Wednesday, 6 to 8 in New York City at the Dolby Soho Experience in New York City. So once again, go to events.dolby.com/fantasyfocusfootball right now and reserve your ticket, and we will see you in 2 days. Wednesday, December 11th, doors open at 5 p.m., the show and meet and greet from 6 to 8 p.m. Visit the Dolby Soho Star Wars experience and discover Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker in a Dolby cinema at an AMC near you starting December 20th.
That should be very, very cool. We've had this conversation about the Lions a couple of times over the past few weeks, Matthew, with David Blau under center. Let's just make this really quick. Has your confidence level altered at all in Kenny Golladay or Marvin Jones, or are we still sort of locked in here? Golladay is a top 20 wide receiver because he's a big play waiting to happen. Marvin Jones is a flex play because the quarterback play is not great, but he's a pretty talented guy. Simple.
And they play Tampa Bay next week.
Yeah. So So that's about where they are.
You're starting both guys against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a pretty good formula for fantasy football as you start them. Right. Jones had just 3 catches for 38 yards yesterday, but
By the way, under our long list of, you know, last week was the carnage of week 14. Stefania's not here because I don't think Stefania slept. Bo Scarborough, I believe, also left this game with injury. Is that incorrect?
I thought he did. I don't know if he did or not. All I know is that, again, he gets 19 carries. He is like the king of getting a ton of touches and not getting into the end zone.
Yeah, 19 for 65 for Scarborough. If he did leave, that's news to me. I'm not saying it's not correct.
I could be wrong on that, but for some reason I thought he left the game late.
He left in the fourth quarter, yeah, rib injury.
Thank you. Okay, there you go. That's what I...
A muddy backfield situation only becomes that much more complicated.
Nice job, Thirsty Kyle.
Alvin Kamara did not have a great game yesterday, just 6.3 fantasy points. So this is less about Kamara, though. He's still Kamara. He can have a monster game next week. No one will be surprised.
When you think about how many points the New Orleans Saints put up, if I told you the New Orleans Saints were going to absolutely just, you know, put up a massive amount of points, you know, whatever, what was it, 43, 45, what was it, whatever they put up.
Yeah.
Right? And Alvin Kamara does nothing?
I know. Pretty crazy. Football is a weird thing, Matthew. It's a weird game. And yesterday, Alvin Kamara was largely contained. So Latavius Murray is not available in many leagues, but should it be started in most leagues now, Matthew? Because he runs hard, he runs effectively, and they score a ton of points. Even when Alvin Kamara is playing, should Murray be flexed? I mean, we kind of have been ranking him like he should be a flex consideration.
Ish,
yeah. I mean,
the problem is that he really needs it. He's not involved in the passing game that much. I think this was a fluke. Fluke's the wrong word. I think this is a surprise what he did against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the whole game was surprising. And so he's not really involved in the passing game that much. And, you know, will he get into the end zone? Maybe. You know, they do a lot of goofy stuff with Taysom Hill when they get in close. And obviously you've got Breeze throwing. And then in Kamara, you would expect to get his. And so, look, yes, he's a low-end flex,
yeah.
You know, but he's a guy that you need him to pay off with a touchdown to really be sort of worth your while there as a flex. And so, you know, his usage is always going to be capped as long as Alvin Kamara is healthy. Now, Latavius Murray is a talented player, and he's had a really nice year. He's averaging 4.7 yards per carry this season. He's had yet another year where he's scored 6 touchdowns. Like, every single year, he's sort of money in the bank for at least 6 touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, don't hate the matchup with Indianapolis this week. Don't love it. I think the Colts
play better. They
struggle
defensively, yeah. But, you know, they're gritty. So, yeah, he's fine. He's a fine flex play. He's whatever.
Right. He's not somebody that I feel like I must start at flex, but I also don't hate it if you do.
You could be short on options. Maybe you would consider playing him over somebody like Sonny Michel. So the question is scripted like this. Sonny Michel has the Bengals in week 15 and the Dolphins in week 17 with the Bills squeezed in between. It's week 15, so you're not really dropping that many players from your roster, Matthew, right? Like, you're making minor tweaks, but if this were any, like, why is Sonny Michel even on rosters anymore?
Dude, last 5 games, Sonny Michel has 4 catches. James White, 36 carries. James White has looked like the best running back on that team,
He's not looked like it. He is clearly the best running back on that team.
And this goes to what we were sort of taking. We are in, win or go home, you know, no margin for error territory. I know you can't play him, but I'm just asking you, is there a Patriots offensive player that you feel comfortable starting in the playoffs that isn't named Julian Edelman?
James White.
Still feel comfortable starting him?
I do. James White, his volume is solid. He's
high floor.
High floor, yeah. James White, that's it, though. I mean, right. Sonny Michel, that right there for one of the top disappointing players in fantasy football this season.
And Tom Brady, too, by the way.
Yeah, Tom
Brady.
Fantasy-wise. Yeah. Listen, everything changed for the Patriots early on this season with a reshaped wide receiver core. They, again, could not get much going yesterday. They're a solid team, but offensively, they are a work in progress, and I'm not sure it's going to progress enough for them to reach where they would like to go in the playoffs later on in January. All right, Daniel, quick word for you before we wrap it up with one more tight end who just keeps on producing.
Fields, you know that fantasy football feeling?
Which one?
That one where your co-host says, I'm going to give you a compliment, but then undercuts you with a comment that's not really a compliment at all.
You know what,
Daniel?
I'm familiar with that one.
That one you know?
Yep.
Yeah, that excitement. When a new week builds, you flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, what if I told you, Phil, that you could use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day.
I see what you did there.
TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take to the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
All the people that won this weekend, do you know what they have in common, Field Yates?
They use the Fantasy Life app.
That's one of the things. But they also purchase swag from the FantasyLife.com store.
Nice!
That's right. Listen, you can't prove that I'm wrong. Every single person that bought swag at the FantasyLife.com store won this weekend. I'm positive of it. Look, the fact of the matter is whether it's getting a gift for that loved one in your life, whether it is celebrating the fact that you're in the playoffs, whether it is drowning your sorrows, FantasyLife.com, we've got all the swag that you need. We've got new designs. If you're a fan of Field Yates, we've got the Yater's Gonna Yate shirt. If you're a fan of Secret Squirrel, we've got Secret Squirrel shirts, mugs, coffee. We have shirts, mugs, hats, t-shirts, hoodies for everyone. If you're a fan of Stefania Bell, we've got Stefania Bell stuff in there. We've got Secret Squirrel stuff. We've got Yater's Gonna Yate stuff. We've got Spicy Tomato stuff. All sorts of fun stuff from the 06010. We've got phrases from me as well. Lots of new designs. Check it out. And if you use the promo code PLAYOFFS15.
PLAYOFFS15
gets you 15% off tumblers, hoodies, hats. We have women's designs as well, apparel. It's great. It makes a great gift for yourself or for the fantasy player in your life. FantasyLife.com.
There are just two tight ends this season that have had 100 receiving yards in back-to-back games. Mark Andrews all the way back in week one, and Tyler Higbee over the past 2 weeks. Now, Gerald Everett remains out for the Rams. They recently promoted the tight end from the practice squad, which made me think they're planning for maybe even more time without Gerald Everett. Until he returns, is Tyler Higbee a top 12 tight end?
11 targets and 24 routes yesterday, and it feels like, just from the eye test,
he's good.
What? Oh, no. He's definitely good.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, just from watching the Rams games, and I haven't dug into all the numbers yet from last night, but from the eye test, it feels like they are doing a lot more two tight end sets.
Yep. Less three wide receiver sets.
Yes, going more 12, less 11. And so,
find out for sure.
You know, to sort of help their running game. Like, I didn't see Brandon Cooks at all.
Yeah,
saw a little bit of Josh Reynolds, but, you know, I mean, it was an impressive game from Tyler Higbee. He's definitely played really, really well. So far for the year, he's been targeted on over 31% of his routes. That ranks third among the 37 tight ends that have at least 30 or more targets this season. Only Mark Andrews and George Kittle have been targeted on a higher percentage of their routes than Tyler Higbee. So, yeah, Higbee, I think, should be the number one or number two tight end that you pick up this week, him or Ian Thomas. I think it's sort of a little bit dependent on when does Greg Olsen come back and when does Gerald Everett come back.
Correct. Those are the two guys that make the waiver wire column for tight ends. Higbee has certainly shown himself well. Remember, they gave him a 4-year, $30 million extension recently, and he's a very adept blocker, but that money was reflective of not just a player that can block, but also a guy that can hold his own in the passing game as well. The Rams offense seems to be finding its way as well. Every game for Los Angeles is a playoff game going forward, and they play the Cowboys in Dallas this upcoming week. Don't hate that matchup there. I know that they play on the road, but still, I think they have a chance to go to Dallas and move the football effectively, even though Jared Goff has traditionally been better at home. We've got a waiver wire show coming up tomorrow. We'll recap Monday Night Football. I'll probably be crying, but hopefully not. We shall see. Actually, tears one way or the other. Joy or sadness.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Good luck to you. Sterling Shepard, 21 points. When I put up my tweet later today and I say, what do you need? Hashtag Monday Night Miracle. You going to just put it out there? 21 points for Sterling Shepard?
Not a bad idea.
There you go. Put it out into the universe. See if it comes back to you as well.
I need at least 15. I need Saquon Barkley to score less than 15 points or more than 40. either one of those sides, I'm good.
Okay.
It's just one or the other.
Less than 15, okay. More than 40. We can do it.
Thirsty Kyle points out that 144 different wide receivers have gotten at least 21 fantasy points in a game this season. So,
to quote one of the great movie quotes of all time, Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance.
There is absolutely a chance. Follow Field on Twitter and Instagram. Tell him what a good fantasy football season he had, because he had an awesome one. At Field Yates. Apologize for me. Send him money. Send him money. When you swear, go ahead and donate to him as well.
Sure.
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok. Everywhere. TikTok, everywhere. I'm at Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media except for the Fantasy Life app, where merely Matthew Berry. Secret Scroll is at Daniel Dopp on Twitter, at Something to Break on Instagram. Keith is at Keith Lipscomb on Twitter. Kyle is at Kyle Soppy ESPN on the Twitter. For all of us here at the 06010, go to events.dolby.com/fantasy-focused-football, and we will see you at Soho Dolby on Wednesday night in New York City. Until then, may the force be with you. And peace out!
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry.